This is the second night of speeches by Governor Bill Walker to a joint session of the Alaska Legislature. Democratic Senator Lyman Hoffman of Bethel, the only Democrat in the Alaska Senate majority, and Representative Tammy Wilson, a Republican from North Pole, are expected to escort the governor into the House chamber shortly.
And it looks like he's just making his way in. The House members have stood up and the senators have stood up. And there he is, making his way in. Last night's State of the State address, Governor Walker named some policy specifics, including an unambiguous commitment to get a natural gas pipeline built to Tidewater and promising to sign a sexual abuse education bill known as Aaron's Law. But Governor Walker did get some flack for being heavy on generalities last night. Legislators are hoping to hear more specifics tonight, especially given the state's multi-billion dollar budget shortfalls.
And Governor Walker is shaking hands with members of both the House and Senate and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, and he'll be stepping up to the podium here shortly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for the graciousness of being able to give a state of the budget. I think that given the situation, it's been a while since we've done it this way. And I know it's a lot of effort. I think it's time to, this is an appropriate year to do that, given the severity of where we are. So thank you very much for coming together a second time. Some said it feels kind of like Groundhog Day, and hopefully it won't quite, but anyway, thank you again. President Kevin Myers, Speaker Mike Chenault, Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott, members of this legislature, members of the cabinet, and our fellow Alaskans. At this time last night, you gathered in this chamber, and I spoke broadly about my administration vision for Alaska's future. Tonight, we gather to talk about the budget. As you exit tonight, each of you will be provided a copy of our budget overview and summary documents. You will be the first in the state of Alaska to receive this. The media will receive it later tonight, and it will be posted on our website for public review. My message to you this evening will be simple. It won't be easy, but we'll manage Alaska out of the fiscal challenges facing our state. And we will do it thoughtfully, judiciously, and together as Alaskans. I spent much of last night talking about opportunity. As we move forward, our common interest must be to strengthen Alaska's future and to enable the opportunity for all Alaskans. What does this mean? It means in Alaska, if you work hard, play fair, you can succeed. In a state this young, each and every person can make a positive difference. A hallmark of our administration is to engage the talent and capacity of all Alaskans, so we can manage through the challenges together. You know, we recently asked state employees and the public for suggestions. I'm pleased with the ideas we've received so far. Some are practical, kind of simple, can be implemented immediately, like making sure the lights are off in state buildings after hours, using more video and audio meetings rather than to avoid travel costs. Good ideas continue to pour in, and I'm humbled by the dedication of the many who have shown to improve our future. The role of government is to provide the environment for Alaskans to feel secure, to provide the education necessary to pursue a livelihood, the freedom to raise a family, and the opportunities so our children and grandchildren can have an even more and greater opportunities. Government shouldn't be in the business of taking care of every last detail, but we must provide the necessary services. As you know, about 90% of the state's general fund comes from oil revenue. This means Alaska state government funding has two drivers, oil price and oil production. Unfortunately, neither is going in our favor right now. In recent months, the price of oil, barrel of crude, has fallen dramatically. While we can't fix oil prices, we can fix government. The state budget passed last session was set when oil prices were at about $110 a barrel. Several months later, oil prices dropped sharply and have stayed at about $50 a barrel since the start of this year. Compounding the low price effects is the flow of oil in the pipeline. TAPS is currently only flowing at 25% of its peak. With oil worth about half of what it was when our current state budget was developed, a $3.5 billion gap has formed between the amount being spent and the amount of oil revenue the state receives. The operating and capital budget passed last session totaled $6.1 billion, with expected revenue of $2.6 billion, or even less, if the price of oil continues to drop. A budget gap this extreme requires our collective action. Most everyone here will admit, with high oil prices over the last several years, government grew fast. What sits before us now simply cannot be sustained. But we must recognize the cost of government should be driven by our population and geography, not the price of oil. Our state has many unique challenges. It would be nearly impossible to reduce government to fit the revenue of a $50 barrel of oil. Fortunately, and to the credit of the men and women in this room tonight, set aside a significant portion of the revenues in recent years. Thanks to your foresight, Alaska has $14 billion in available savings. This gives us a bridge. But at current spending levels, and with oil prices where they are, that bridge will only last 3 years. If prices rise to levels projected by our Department of Revenue, this would mean the savings bridge would carry us 5 to 6 years. Whether the bridge lasts 3 or 6 years, we must take action now, but keep in mind, state spending has a tremendous impact on our economy and our people. There is some consolation. For one, our economy is much better positioned than in the past oil price downturns. Compared to the 1980s, our economy has 50% more jobs than it did then. Industries like tourism, fisheries, air cargo, and mining have expanded greatly, and they actually benefit from low fuel prices. Native corporations and healthcare sector also provide a wide range of stable jobs throughout the state. Recognize our challenge, we must now work together to take action prudently and in a manner that keeps Alaska's overall economy stable. There are short-term actions as well as long-term strategies to get Alaska on a stable fiscal plan. Let's start with the short term. The fiscal year 2016 budget recommendation starts first with cutting back on spending. Last month, I issued an administrative order to stop all discretionary spending on 6 mega projects. This gives us the opportunity to evaluate each project to decide whether continuing with them is in the best long-term interest of the state. I asked all of our commissioners to submit scenarios of what their departments would look like if they were reduced by 5 to 8%. I have analyzed these responses and now forwarding a 2016 general fund budget that reduces non-formula agency spending by 6.5% from fiscal year 2015 and 5.4% below the work in progress budget. In my own office, I'm taking a base operating reduction of 11%. That means I will have fewer staff members than the previous administrations. Every agency is faced with difficult task of reduction, which means formula programs are affected as well. Education is among my highest priorities. Teachers, your job is difficult, and these challenging times introduce uncertainty. I know you want to know how we value your service. In this fiscal environment, however, I'm asking the Department of Education to also make some reductions, though at a proportionally smaller level. In my endorsed budget, the K-12 formula funding remains intact, but I've eliminated the one-time funding added last year. This equates to a 2.5% funding reduction. In a time of limited cash flow, it's increasingly difficult to forward fund programs and lock up revenues for a year. This budget continues the forward funding of education, although at a 90% of the current level. Let's be clear, this is not a 10% cut in education funding. It is just reducing how much is pre-funded. The legislature will receive studies on the K-12 formula this summer. I look forward to working with you on final fiscal year 2017 funding next session. Budget reductions overall are difficult, and I'm aware that cuts in education are especially difficult, and they hurt most in our smallest communities. There are also the retirement system penalties, which hurt the smallest of school districts most. My administration is committed to finding solutions to these other unique issues facing our schools, and we look forward to working closely with the education community. Municipal revenue sharing is another program that is important, but difficult in these fiscally challenging times. In our budget for fiscal year 2016, municipalities will receive $57 million in revenue sharing. That's $3 million less than last year. Smaller communities in Alaska rely more on revenue sharing than larger communities. I'm also committed to helping the Alaska Municipal League hold smaller communities harmless of retirement system penalties. For smaller employers, I want to help address the 2008 retirement payment floor. The impact on small PERS employers is disproportionate and is not in the state's best interest for our local governments to be affected so negatively. The decisions we make on the state budget affect overall economy. That's why my budget will include the $450 million of federal money available to us through Medicaid expansion. It is 100% federally funded until December of 2016, then steps down over 4 years to 90%. Investing in health of Alaskans is sound, prudent fiscal policy. We all want Alaskans to be as productive as possible. But if people can't work, they can't hunt, they can't fish, unless they're healthy. Medicaid expansion is good for Alaskans and good for Alaska. Medicaid expansion is also our state's plan toward Medicaid reform. Partnership will be a key component of this reform. We have the opportunity to work with our tribal partners in health care as well as child welfare matters. These state and tribal partnerships will also provide enhanced federal match opportunities. Teaming up with nonprofits, Mental Health Trust Authority is also crucial. As a result, the Medicaid expansion, Alaska will see direct savings in the cost of corrections, behavioral health and assistance programs. We will also see indirect savings in the retiree and state employee health care costs. In December, I submitted a completely stripped down capital budget. In the amended version, a few key priorities will be added back. These include some projects that are under construction but not finished, limited critical maintenance, and small programs that have demonstrated return on investment, such as weatherization and energy monitoring. Another example is the $500,000 set aside for work on our Arctic policy. The United States will chair Arctic Policy Council, and because Alaska is the only state, so we must take a leading policy role. Craig Fleener and I look forward to working with your Arctic Policy Council Commission and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Center for Arctic Policy to determine the best use of the investment to position Alaska's interests at the top of the Arctic Council agenda. The capital budget is $150 million, including offsetting appropriations, reappropriations. With deep agency reductions and a minimal capital budget, my administration's fiscal year 2016 endorsed budget reduces general fund spending by $550 million, which is 9% below the previous year. This is after covering the required $700 million oil tax credit payments, as well as the $260 million in retirement costs. Some have previously recommended we issue pension obligation bonds to cover the $262 million in retirement costs. Borrowing against the future doesn't help our state's credit rating. Doing so would effectively push the bill forward. I said I wouldn't pass the buck to the future generations, and I won't. It will mean we have to pay and suffer a bit now, but this decision will mean we won't burden our children and grandchildren with a debt. So I've covered the short-term action. Now let me cover the long-term fiscal strategy. I'll start with a few key principles. Government must limit spending. And as you can see from the fiscal year 2016 proposal, the administration is prepared to take on that challenge. But like Governor Wally Hickel used to say, we can't cut our way into prosperity. We must be ready to make prudent investments. We need a rational approach to creating a shared vision to identify what the right level of government is. I have asked my commissioners to tell me what their departments would look like in 4 years if their budgets were 25% smaller than they are today. I'm talking about deep cuts, and they will hurt. I began these discussions knowing that the positions we're talking about are people, hardworking Alaskans with families. I am so proud of those who have dedicated their lives in service to this state. We will have to make some tough decisions, and I assure you, any cut I make will not be made lightly. We cannot accept business as usual. We will be efficient, innovative, and creative in delivering of state services. Commissioners will be working together across departments to find creative solutions using existing resources. In some cases, a department may have to give up responsibility for a program that another agency can provide more efficiently. I will also redesign the administrative structure in ways that save real money but maintain maximum programs and services delivered. Two key areas are in post-secondary education and criminal justice. I've asked the leaders of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the university, and the Department of Education to look at post-secondary education holistically. This means taking a closer look at the Post-Secondary Education Commission, regional technical centers, Alaska Vocational Technical Centers, and the university's community campuses. Using these assets efficiently ensures access to education and training. I expect to see a plan developing during fiscal year 2016. Criminal justice is another area in which I want to see several departments combine services. Corrections, public safety, law, the court and public defender system must work together to reduce costs and keep Alaskans safe and to avoid the need to build another prison. These solutions will be more difficult to implement. They will likely take longer, require open dialogue. I also want service privatized to maximum local, nonprofit, and tribal partnerships. As we downsize, I will ask this legislature to provide flexibility in budgeting so we can make smart, timely decisions within and across agencies. I also want to take a hard look at statutes that require more spending or create roadblocks to streamlining services. As we move forward, it is important to stress the state has a cash flow problem, not a wealth problem. Our state earned $2.4 billion more last year from its financial assets than it did from petroleum revenue. In fact, the investment revenue in fiscal year 2014 was larger than the entire state's general fund budget. In 2014, the state earned more than $8 billion in investment income. I have asked the Commissioner of Revenue to explore ways to safely put the state's wealth to work without jeopardizing or spending the underlying financial assets. We need to make sure our money is working as hard as we do. Today, Alaska is oil dependent. For a sustainable fiscal platform, we need to improve oil production, but also depend on natural gas, other natural resources, and the broader economy. Ideally, Alaska could see revenue from natural gas starting in 2023. This is my highest long-term priority strategy for both affordable, clean, in-state energy, as well as a significant driver of state revenues. If our oil price projections hold true and we stay disciplined on our spending, I am confident we will be able to successfully chart these waters with savings, expand oil production, and prudent use of our existing fiscal assets. But if prices stay low, next legislative session, we will need to discuss more traditional revenue options. You know, I like to think of myself as a carpenter with a law degree, and in my toolbox are dozens of tools. Few building projects require them all. As governor, I've left many of the tools the state has for balancing the budget and generating revenue in the toolbox for another day if needed. I will close with this. It is clear we are, as a state, must reduce our spending, but keep in mind doing so will affect Alaska's contractors and associated workforces. To offset this, I will look to ways for private sector activity to pick up the slack as government works to reduce spending. I want dozens of new independent oil companies on the North Slope. There are things that we as a state can do to lower the bar of entry for those companies. I'm not talking about cutting any corners or on safety or environmental issues. We currently have a North Slope model that is designed for large companies, such as the ones that we are so fortunate to have here in Alaska. But we need to attract the next wave of companies. I have discussed with both the industry and the federal regulators the concept of the state owning and building infrastructure on the North Slope, with the cost to be shared by the multiple users, similar to the toll road that we built years ago for the Red Dog Mine. Since being sworn in on December 1st, I met with about six members of President Obama's cabinet and explained to each of them that I am the governor of a state whose revenues are 90% dependent on oil, and we have a pipeline that is three quarters empty. I had the conversation with President Obama on December 5th. I told them all that I will be very aggressive in getting more oil into that pipeline. That's because Alaska is an owner state, in large part due to the statehood compact. Since December 1st, I've also held about a dozen meetings with representatives of the oil industry. I invited the presidents of two large independent oil companies here to Juneau, and we discussed their interest in Alaska. I told them I am prepared to do whatever I can to assist them with the federal regulatory process. I met with the Interior Secretary Jewell to specifically convey my intent to work alongside these companies as they continue to explore for more oil. In the past 2 months, I have met with the Alaska Oil and Gas Association twice, once as recently as this morning for breakfast at the governor's house for the AOGA board to deliver the same message. I want to fully utilize all of Alaska's infrastructure, including the Alaska Railroad, the Alaska Marine Highway System vessels, and the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. As we work toward generating new revenue through increased natural resource development, we must remain committed to hiring locally. When a company asks Alaska for credits for future projects, I will make sure there is a provision for local hire incentives in that contract. I am confident there are a number of ways to stimulate Alaska's economy through the private sector's investment in our state in such a way that Alaska's economy does not suffer from reduced state budgets. Finally, what all of this shows is just how much a high priority the large volume gas line is to Alaska's fiscal future. I will assess every avenue to expedite the building of this all-important project. Just as construction of the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline created 70,000 jobs, building a large volume gas line will also mean more opportunity for Alaskan families. A gas line will also create more revenue for the state, low-cost energy, clean-burning fuel. When we unlock the trillions of dollars of resources in our state, we will have a very different economy in Alaska. We will be well on our way to fiscal stability. Right now, we have to fix our short-term problem, but we must stay focused on our long-term opportunities. Norway did, and has a permanent fund of nearly $900 billion. Their long-term goal is to reach $3 trillion. We need to work on Alaska's long game. Alaska Statehood Compact mandates that we cannot sell the resources in the ground. We can only lease the rights to those resources, and that's what we do. And that's what makes us an owner state. We are the only state in the union with that opportunity. In order to build ourselves out of this fiscal situation, it is time we finally start acting like the owners that we are. Let's recap. First, I said, this effort on downsizing starts with me. I told my commissioners I would make the governor's office take twice the amount of budget cuts I'm asking of them. I followed through and trimmed 11%. There's still some work to be done, but today the governor's staff is already the smallest it's been in 15 years. My administration can and will do more with less. I encourage you to do the same. I've stopped the discretionary spending on mega projects, taken steps to reduce municipal revenue sharing, and asked my commissioners to develop plans for cutting their department budgets by 5 to 8% in the short term and up to 25% in the long. This will be difficult, but ultimately help set us on a sustainable path. And these are just a few examples. The documents you will receive tonight outline my approach to the budget in much greater detail. Members of the legislature, I again thank you for graciously making the time for tonight's State of the Budget. I have great respect for this honorable institution and the legislative process. I also hold in the highest regard the separation of powers inherent in our Constitution. You are the appropriators. Therefore, I will lead by example, but I need your cooperation and your commitment that you will roll up your sleeves and help me navigate our state through these rough waters. My administration stands ready to assist this legislature in creating a budget over the next 87 days that I can sign with pride, knowing that this legislative body rose to the challenge and made the hard choices necessary to put our state back on path to prosperity. I look forward to working with you at this critical time in the history of our great state. Let us seize the opportunity this challenge provides to improve the lives of Alaskans today, tomorrow, and for the next 100 years. May God bless you, and may God bless the state of Alaska. Thank you.
This has been special coverage of Governor Bill Walker's State of the Budget Address, produced by 360 North and KTOO in Juneau. For Jeremy Shea, I'm Casey Kelly. Good night.